Welcome to Season 5, Episode 8 of Brody Sports Talk. My name is Derek Rusnick, and I am going to be your host for the 2023 AFC North Preview. I am joined by the owner of the Green Bay Packers, the greatest podcaster in the history of this podcast. That's Caleb Walgren. Caleb, how you been? How you doing?
I've been doing good. I was reading a little bit of poetry coming into today's episode because I wanted to make sure I gathered my thoughts. And I just got to say that Edgar Allan Poe knew what he was doing. And quoth the Raven, nevermore.
Yeah, let's never, ever quote poetry on this podcast again, nevermore. No, I kid, of course. Robert Frost could probably, there are two roads that divert in the forest. I took the one less traveled, and it made all the difference because that road led to the AFC North preview. So if you haven't listened to our previews previously, go back and listen to those. They're awesome. I do an awesome job with those, and Caleb is there with me. No, I kid. Caleb does a great job as well. But we have a couple of topics that we go over for all of the teams to preview them. We talk about the arrivals. We talk about the departures. We talk about the over-under win total that we think they're going to have. We take a bet on that. A nice Brody bet, as in a high five and a handshake. I have been lucky enough to spend some time in person with Caleb over the last couple of months, and we have paid off all of our high five and our handshake bets in that time period. He's also a very nice guy. He comes off kind of much smarter than he claims to be, but he's very smart on this podcast. And when you get to know him, he's you can have a real conversation with him, and you feel good walking away from it. So also we go over the division awards and the key matchups for we each choose a game and what we think is going to be the key matchup for that season. So as Caleb alluded to, we're starting off in Baltimore with them Ravens. So looking at the arrivals, the ones that I just want to highlight a little bit, we have OBJ, Odell Beckham Jr. coming over from the Rams. We have another wide receiver in Nelson Aguilar, which is our colleague's, Sean's favorite NFL player. He's a big fan of him, and Sean's out on an assignment this week. This is a shout out to him, as we know that he loves Nelson Aguilar. And then the number 22 overall pick in this year's draft is Zay Flowers. So all three of them that I'm highlighting are wide receivers. And that's for a little bit of a reason. This team has been known as a running team. They usually have three backs that they toss out there, a fourth back in Lamar Jackson, their quarterback, who runs all over the field. It seems like they are focusing their higher level stuff with getting the passing game going again, and I could definitely see this working out well. Caleb, I'm going to toss it over to you. Is there any arrivals that you want to highlight, or any one of this wide receiver room that you want to talk about?
I've got to at least say, I am looking. It looks like there's a potential rookie starting on the offensive line, and that is Malasala Amuvi Laulu. And I knew that you were wanting to say it, but I had to try to jump in there and steal your thunder, because I think that the left guard out of the Oregon Ducks is just going to show up and play very well there in Baltimore. we all know that they've had good luck with Hawaiians there in the past, like Haloti Nata. And I think that, you know, they call him Sala for short. I'm going to just stick with that nickname. And I think Sala is going to show up and do very good things for the Ravens offensive line this year.
That's great. Yeah, no, you're I'm glad you said it. Of course, Sala's on my list, but I didn't want to steal your thunder, as I am, as I'm known to do. With, you know, there's only 50-some-odd guys on a team, so with arrivals come some departures. And for me, the one I want to highlight, the two I want to highlight, actually, but the one that is close to my heart, of course, is Ben Powers, the guard. He's headed up to Denver to help that running game. Ben Powers comes from a little university in the state of Oklahoma, OU, and a couple years back. So I've seen Ben Powers play for several years now. And then one that I don't think I'd ever see happen is Calais Campbell to the Falcons. He has been a staple of that community and a someone I thought I would see retire as a Raven. So, Caleb, let me toss it over to you. Any departures that you want to talk about, or do you want to share your thoughts on Calais Campbell?
I mean, I do love Calais Campbell, and I know I say Calais, you say Calais. It's all the same thing. It's all good.
I'm sure I'm saying it wrong. I had it in my head early in my podcasting career, and I never got it out of it.
I mean, I'm going to go ahead and go with the corner that's opposite of Marlon Humphrey normally, and that is Marcus Peters. I feel like when the Ravens showed up and did well in Lamar Jackson's MVP season, he was a beast. He was all over the field. He was taking care of business. And, you know, he left. He barely got signed recently, Derek. I don't even know if you know this. He signed with a team that maybe shouldn't have a football organization, the Las Vegas Raiders. Marcus Peters is no longer a Raven, and it's going to feel weird because he was at least there for a little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. Yeah, so that is a Mr. Campbell. However you say your first name, I wish you nothing but the best with the Falcons, and I apologize. Please don't squish me. So we move on to our over-under win total for the Baltimore Ravens. And Caleb, where do we get our numbers from?
This year, all of our numbers are coming courtesy of FanDuel.
Thank you, FanDuel, for those numbers. We are not sponsored by them, but, they're not going to sponsor us because we're in Oklahoma and they have no – we can't do online betting here. But the number for the Baltimore Ravens is 10.5. This is one of the toughest divisions that I had. I'm down to a coin flip at this point. Because I think 11 wins is reachable for the Ravens. I don't think that's completely outside of what I think they can do if Lamar Jackson stays healthy, if everything just kind of falls into place as we are expecting it to, then I'm going to jump to the over. Caleb, are you going over or under 10.5 wins for the Ravens?
I'm so torn on this one, Derek. I feel like I have hyped the Ravens for a couple of years now and been one of their true believers. I just don't know that I can push it. I'm going to go under. I think they're a good team. I think that they're a solid team. I want to see Lamar be healthy. You know, if it's a coin flip and let's say Lamar misses a couple games, I'm going to be happy I took the under. I know that they have, you know, Pro Bowl caliber quarterbacks and Tyler Huntley back there behind Lamar. but they just don't seem to win the same amount. I know they also are playing the AFC South, and that makes me want to pick them to win more games. I just am not sure. I also think that, well, let me save my key matchup. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. So I'm going under the 10.5.
Okay. So why don't you toss into the division awards? Do you see an MVP or a defensive rookie of the year coming out of this group?
They just didn't have a lot of talent coming in on the defensive side of the ball. They didn't have their second round pick. Do I think there's an outside chance that Zay Flowers could be an offensive rookie of the year? Potentially. I just don't feel like I have a lot of things that I trust. If you wanted to make something on this, I'd probably say if you think that the over is going to hit, put down Lamar for MVP.
Well, I did. So my division award, first and foremost, Lamar Jackson comes back to MVP form and gets it done. Also, you know, up there for comeback player of the year. I don't know the specifications for comeback player if you've had to miss a certain amount of time, but I know he missed a decent amount where his backup got Pro Bowl honors, so I know he missed enough. And also, you know, I'm tossing him in there for offensive player of the year. I think that if he comes back and he is healthy, there's some hardware that's probably going to come his way in some form or fashion. No matter how much I like Zay Flowers, and I really do like Zay Flowers, I don't see an offensive rookie of the year coming out of there because I just think there's so many more options out there. So I'm putting all of my chips on Lamar Jackson.
I like Lamar Jackson chips. Yeah. I think that they work really well.
Speaking of chips, so I had a discussion the other day. You ever had all dress chips, Caleb?
I don't think I have.
Yeah, so I think they're a Canadian thing, but my wife was bringing them up the other day and was talking about chips and she wanted some. I don't think I've ever seen them before, but I've heard about them. So let me ask you this question. When you are watching your key matchup for the Baltimore Ravens, what chips are you going to be eating?
You know, I think that I'm going to be going with some Ruffles. I know that depending on who you talk to, where the match is played, you could have some chips. You could have some fish and chips because I am going with the Week 6 matchup at the neutral location as they play the Tennessee Titans in London. I think that this is a bit of a tough stretch for Baltimore. They actually are going to have played back-to-back divisional games before this on the road against Cleveland and Pittsburgh, and then they have to travel to London. I want to see what kind of resilience this team has. I want to see if they can come out and beat a Tennessee team that I feel like they should be better than, but team that similarly likes to run the ball, likes to be physical, likes to have a good defense. I feel like Baltimore needs to show that they can be the better version of that team and go out and beat the Titans at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium in London. That's my key matchup because I feel like they both may be competing for some wild card spots.
Oh, that's a really good one. I do love those London games in the football stadiums. In this case, the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. For me, I'm going to jump up a couple of weeks to Week 11, which is against the Bengals. So previous week was the Browns, and the week after is going to be the Chargers, and then they have their bye week in Week 13. So this is kind of what I would say is their hardest part, of the toughest part of their schedule, because generally they have two games and then they have what I would consider a game that's not as important. Or they have games that are, you know, against teams that you don't expect anything from, like Arizona and stuff like that. So this is kind of that three-game stretch later in the season that I think is going to show us who the Ravens really are. And so at this point, is Lamar healthy? Can the Ravens take that next step to get back to where they were? The we've seen the Bengals take a step. We've seen the Steelers, reload with a new quarterback, a new receiver. They still have their defense, you know, so they're going to be a tough. Like, are the Ravens, you know, can the AFC North produce three playoff teams? And I think week 11 is going to show us, you know, is this the third best team in the second or third best team in this division? And can they make the playoffs?
I like it. In general, the Bengals have won the division back-to-back years.
Yeah.
If you want to be able to dethrone the king, when they come to your hometown, they have short rest, Thursday night football. You got to be able to show them that you're going to push them around.
Yeah, you're right about that. And, you know, in order to be the best, you have to beat the best. And I think that the Bengals kind of have shown over the last couple of years that they are the best of this division. Anything you have to say about the Ravens to wrap up, or should we move on to some nicknames of quarterbacks?
I don't remember any nicknames. I just remembered No Nickname Joe.
Oh, thank goodness. So we move on to the Cincinnati Bengals, a really fun team to watch with their quarterback, Joseph Burrow. He has no nicknames. We don't call him anything like that. Please don't call him anything like that. Only thing you can call him is Winner. It's surprising to me how much the Bengals have come from they didn't win much. And, you know, went to the playoffs a couple of times, really struggled through a lot of years, and now they are, you know, the second or third best team in the AFC. So I like what's happening. I like that we can toss it all on a Cornhusker and say that Zach Taylor is good at his job.
Yes, he's really good.
I just like to toss the Huskers out there for you. So, as with the Ravens, we'll talk about the Bengals. The arrivals for the Bengals, one of my favorite dudes, Orlando Brown Jr., a tackle, probably playing the left tackle position for the Bengals, coming over from Kansas City, got himself a ring, and definitely knows how to block and is one of the best tackles out there. A special shout out to Cody Ford. Coming over, he's a guard from Arizona. I have to give the offensive lineman a little bit of love. And because we're an Oklahoma-based podcast, Cody Ford played at OU. So a special shout-out for that one. And then the number 28 overall pick was Miles Murphy, an edge rusher. So they definitely have a talented team, and this is a reset roster that I think is going to show what they're made of. Caleb, any comments on the arrivals that I put out there, or one you want to add to the list?
I'm going to add one to the list. Backup quarterback, Derek. I know that it's a spot you go to a lot. Yep. Trevor Siemian.
Very nice. It's
going to be interesting. I don't think he quite has the it factor that Joe Burrow does, but I figure they saw Joe Burrow played his games in Louisiana. Trevor Siemian recently played games in Louisiana. Let's see if Trevor Siemian can come here. And I know in general, with him being a former Bronco, you just have a lot of love for the guy. And he'll be wearing orange again.
This is true. Yeah, so love the backup quarterback situation. I go to that one a lot. That's a well that, I mean, let's go ask the 49ers if you can ever have enough backup quarterbacks or guys who can run your offense. As with arrivals, we do have departures. So a little tip of the hat to Samaje Perine, who the running back heading over to Denver. We have Eli Apple, the cornerback headed over to Miami. And if you haven't seen the comments from Mike McDaniel on Eli Apple, because I'm not sure he realizes that he's on the team. Basically, they asked, you know, how's Apple looking? Or something to that effect. And he's like, the fruit? Oh, you mean Eli. It's very funny. And I do love me some Mike McDaniel at a press conference. And then, you know, the biggest one, I think, was the Jesse Bates, the third, their safety over to Atlanta. He's a bit of a controversial. Some people love him. Some people hated him in Cincinnati because he did have some busted plays, but he did make a lot of great plays in those playoff games. So him heading over to the Falcons, I think we're saying Atlanta a lot this night. I think they're rising up the ranks using free agency versus like the draft or whatever, and they're putting together some really good guys. What do you think, Caleb?
I mean, you brought up Jesse Bates. I'll go with his partner in crime there in the safety position, Von Bell, leaving the team as mm-hmm. well. It's a really rebuilt secondary. You have Dax Hill, who they drafted with their number one pick back in 2022, but he just hasn't seen the field very much because, hello, Bell and Bates were there. And then, you know, I'm showing right now Nick Scott from the Rams, who they brought in. I don't definitely much less confidence in the safety duo than what they had before with Bell and Bates. I hope that they do well together, but to be determined.
Yeah, you're right about that. So with these changes that have happened, the Bengals number for wins is over under 11.5. And I'm tossing it over to you first, Caleb. Where do you think that the Cincinnati Bengals land? Are you think it's over 11.5 or under 11.5?
I just think that this division is going to beat up on itself quite a bit. I don't see probably anyone getting to 12 wins in this division. I think 11 wins may win the division and be good. Maybe if you're sitting there at the end of the season and you're 11-5, you're resting your starters and not playing for that 12th win. I'm going to go under. I think that the Bengals probably are the favorite still in the division, but I don't know that I think that they are so obvious that they're going to just run through the division. I think everyone in this division is trying to take steps, and it is not easy to keep up. And I do think that they lost a lot. I mean, those departures were rough. So I think under 11.5 is just where it ends up landing.
Yeah, I want to disagree with you once again with our over. I think they go over. I think we're seeing a 13-win, 14-win team, as there's not a whole lot of losses or scheduled losses that I see on their schedule. I mean, if you can take care of your division games, you have the Cardinals on your schedule, you have the Seahawks, you're still playing the Bills and you're still playing the Niners, and you have the Texans on your schedule, you know, the Jags and the Colts. I really do think that I could see the Bengals beating up on some of the teams that they are clearly better than, and still taking care of business in the division.
I could be wrong. I could very well be wrong, Derek. I think, in general, us taking different sides is just interesting. I think that we're willing to admit that it's close, and I think that we both know that this division is just a bear.
Yeah, no, you're right about it. I mean, I'm in complete agreement with you on that. I could be completely wrong and be like, oh, okay, well, they got to 10 wins or they got to 11 wins and everyone's happy about it because this division just beat up on each other, like you said. So I'm going to take the division awards. And I think this is the year Joe Burrow takes that step and he becomes the MVP. He's that level of player. I think that with Orlando Brown Jr., on his blind side, I think that he has that quarter second, half second more that he needs. And he just blows everyone out of the water with his passing. And this team, he's just the best player on the field. He's got a lot of competition. But I see if there's anyone out there, I think that Joe Burrow winning an MVP would not surprise me.
I'll go in a similar vein, but pick something a little bit different. Give me Ja'Marr Chase for Offensive Player of the Year.
Okay.
I think Burrow is going to have a good year. I think that we can all expect that. I want to see if Chase can kind of elevate his profile from a few years ago. He came in, was very difficult to be stopped. I feel like last year people game plan for him a little bit more. Like, he still was good, but it didn't seem like he was quite having the same breaks on the field. I think that what he's able to do this year could be special. So I like Ja'Marr Chase for Offensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, that's a really good pick. And I think that we may have a 1-2 punch there as someone's got to throw in the ball. So I'm going to bring out my key matchup, which I don't think anyone's going to be surprised. Week 17 at Burrowhead, Kansas City. It is put up or shut up time. This is toward the end of the season. This is probably for that top two, top three seed. You're trying to have home field throughout as much as you can, and the bye. So I think this game is literally, let's do this. Let's, put everyone out there and play in your best game.
I'm going to switch it up a little bit. So, I mean, you talked about Orlando Brown coming in. Joan Williams is on the other side. I think one of the weeks that their hands could be full the most is right after their bye. And that's a game you always want to win. But I'm looking at week 8 as they travel to San Francisco. The 49ers defense has been fantastic. They're going to have to, at least the Bengals are going to have to find a way with those inexperienced safeties to shut down Christian McCaffrey, Debo Samuel, and George Kittle. I think that it's a dangerous game for them because if San Francisco gets up, I think that it could be a bit of a runaway and possibly a blueprint for teams on how to try to beat the Bengals towards the later half of the season.
Of course. That probably is a blueprint for how to beat them in the playoffs. So to wrap up the Bengals, I think that we're both in the camp that we like what the Bengals are doing. And I think there's a lot of great things to like about them. Any final thoughts? I really like what the Bengals are doing.
Hoo day.
Indeed. So let's go from Cincinnati, just a little bit over, and let's go over to Cleveland, the Cleveland Browns. So they're once again one of those teams that, what are they going to be? They're never going to be as good as when they had Baker Mayfield, but maybe we see something from them. So we start out with our rivals. And so rivals from my list here, I have Dalvin Tomlinson, the defensive tackle from Minnesota, and the Number 74 overall pick, Cedric Tillman. And of what I talked about in our previous episode, what I think is going to be the new backup quarterback for the Cleveland Browns and probably future starter, Dorian Thompson-Robinson. He was pick 140, as I think he's a great quarterback, and I really want to see what he can do with this team and what he can do in the NFL.
As far as arrivals are concerned, Derek, let me go ahead and bring up a couple of players that were traded for that I just find to be very interesting. Za'Darius Smith, he'd signed a big contract with the Vikings after leaving the Packers. Didn't really have his best season there in Minnesota last year, but did put up double-digit sacks, though. Definitely an impact player, and you know that putting him on the opposite side of Myles Garrett is going to be interesting. If you look at the other side of the ball, Elijah Moore, drafted really high, looked like he had flashes of brilliance with the New York Jets, and they traded him. You know, he's coming into an offense where not a lot of people showed up as far as catching the ball last year. And I think that, you know, now that they have a full offseason with quarterback Deshaun Watson, they're going to be looking to get the ball downfield more often, and Elijah Moore is part of that.
That's a really good point. You know, I think that a good wide receiver is always well needed, no matter who you have under quarterback. So with that being said, one of the departures from the Cleveland Browns is their backup quarterback, Jacoby Brissett. Well, I say backup quarterback, their backup quarterback slash fill-in quarterback, because, you know, there are times when he's needed to start. And so Jacoby Brissett, once again, getting more work as he heads over to the Commanders. And then a guy that I love to say, Greedy Williams, the cornerback, heads over to the Eagles. So what do you think, Caleb? Who do you want to talk about on the departures?
Let's go ahead and just talk about the departure from the running back room, and that is Kareem Hunt, who still is free agent, but played behind Nick Chubb for years, was very dynamic, was able to do a lot of things in the Browns running game, but right now you have Nick Chubb, and then you have a bit more question marks. Jerome Ford and Demetric Felton, I just don't love them the same. I don't want, especially if there's something that happens to Chubb midway through the season, I think that running back room has a bit more holes than they want it to.
That's a great point. You need depth because you never know when your primary is going to go down, and you really don't want to have just a focused back nowadays. You really need to have running back by committee. So we talk about the win total that we have, and the number for the Cleveland Browns is 9.5. I'm taking the first on this one, as I believe they are going under. I don't know if this team has the depth, and I don't think they have the talent to win many games in this division. And even though their schedule isn't super duper hard, I just can't see them getting to double digit wins. Caleb, I toss it to you.
I'm gonna keep riding this, and I'm gonna go under again. I think it's a 9-8 season. I think that in general, it's just I don't like a lot of the overs in this division. I just think that it's a tight one. I think that they will improve by having the same quarterback throughout the whole season. I also think it's a bit of a put up or shut up time for Kevin Stefanski. I think that with all the changes they've made on offense, if he can't get it done, they're going to try to go find someone else. So I don't know who it'll be quite yet, but I'm going a little bit under on the Cleveland Browns, maybe 8 or 9 wins.
Okay. Yeah, that's a really good point. If they get to 9 wins, I'm going to be quite surprised. So let's talk about awards. Who do you have the Cleveland Browns winning some division awards?
It's a tough one. They don't have a lot of rookie talent because a lot of the rookies are Texans because of the trade that they made for Deshaun Watson. So I'll go ahead and pick a rookie anyway, go out on a limb. Let's say Cedric Tillman has a fantastic year. He was a speedy receiver from the University of Tennessee. I said they were going to want to push the ball down the field. If Cedric Tillman ends up going up in that lineup more than, let's say, Donovan Peoples-Jones, because he's had his chance, Tillman, I think, could be a burner for the Browns on the field.
Yeah, so for me, I want to go back to that well that they like to. And I'm going to go Offensive Player of the Year with Nick Chubb. If he has the type of year that I think he can and probably will, he's going to be in that discussion, because if they go over 9.5 wins, it's going to be because of Nick Chubb. So let's talk about some key matchups. So for me, it is a week 6 of the NFL schedule. So they have a week 5 bye. And so you have your first 4 games. You find out who you are. You have the Bengals, you have the Steelers, you have the Titans, and you have the Ravens. So you are playing your division rivals once, and then you have the Titans on there as well. This tells you everything you probably need to know about the rest of your season. Where are we at? Where do we need a reset? Where do we need better players, better talent, better, where do we need to coach better, stuff like that. So this is an early reset for the team. And then right afterwards, the San Francisco 49ers show up to your house, and this tells you everything you need to know. Like, okay, we've went out there, we've had our bye, we think we're ready to go for the rest of the season. Let's put a good team out there against us and see where we're at. So for me, it's at week 6, the week after their bye. What about you?
I like that one, Derek. I really do. I'm going to actually just go ahead and go a week later. I'm going to go with week 7 at Indy. If I'm looking at the Browns and seeing how the results turned out last year, if there's the first team on their schedule that I would end up starting to circle and say, you should have a better roster than them, it's the Colts. I really think that it'll be a really good game for Myles Garrett and Za'Darius Smith, because the Colts offensive line has had a lot of weaknesses outside of Quentin Nelson. You know, did Shane Steichen figure out a way to shore that up? How are the Colts doing things? I think if they don't go in there and take that one, it's a long year. It's a long year for the Browns. You need to be able to go in there and at least, I'm saying, win by double digits in Indy. If you're talking playoffs, which that 9.5 win total says playoffs to me.
Yeah, so how many yards do you think the Jim Irsay will have in that week 7 games? Because clearly he's the one who's out there on the field running for his team.
Negative 72.
if you missed our Brody Butts episode this week talking about the Indianapolis Colts situation, go back and listen to it. I went on a little bit of a rant, and I'm still feeling the after effects of being kind of snarky. So we finished up with the Brownies, and that brings us to A team that wants to use the second half of the alphabet, and we have B, C, C. Now we're going to go to P's. The Pittsburgh Steelers out there, and I'm going to toss the arrivals over to you first, because you had a fun one earlier prior to our conversation on here.
I mean, we've got to give it up to them getting Joey Porter Jr. We all know Joey Porter. I remember him distinctly trying to run a pick six back in the Super Bowl against the Cardinals. It was the end of the first half. It was one of the best ends of a half ever in the Super Bowl. And Joey Porter Jr., he comes in, he's more of a secondary player. He'll be playing corner. The Steelers just go out there, get these guys that are Steeler born and bred, you know, grew up with his dad on the Steelers, probably grew up in the Steelers locker room. And here he's coming wearing that black and gold to just be potentially the next Steeler legend.
Yeah, that's a great story. And I cannot wait to see what Junior does at this level. You know, getting him in the second round, which is the, you know, pick number 32, that's a steal, I think, and of what he's gonna turn into. For me, I'm looking at just earlier in the first round, number 14, where they picked up Broderick Jones, the offensive tackle from the Bulldogs. You know, because you can just put draft anybody from Georgia, and they probably do okay for you. So I like what they've done over the last few years with their draft picks. You know, with Najee Harris and Pickens, now Roderick Jones and Joey Porter Jr. Like, there's some names on this team now that are young. And, you know, a retool, a reset, just coming back for more from the old regime, should I say. So some departures with this. My biggest one is Devin Bush, the inside linebacker. He's headed over to the Seahawks. I'm a fan of Devin Bush. I just think that he worked well in this defense. And so I hope he has many good years in Seattle. I toss it over to you, Caleb. What do you think? Who's your departure that you see from?
I'm not seeing a ton of critical departures here for the Steelers, which is weird. But that's just kind of the nature of a draft and develop team. You draft the players, you develop them. If you like them, you extend them. If you don't, you sign new ones. They've got new players coming in, like we said, offensive tackle, defensive secondary. It's where they need to build. So I think that in general, if there's a departure, there's someone coming back in, which means that the Steelers are doing it the right way for draft and develop.
That's very true. So we talk about the wins for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm showing their number is 8.5. So I'll toss it over to you first, Caleb. Do you have the Steelers going over or under 8.5?
We're talking about the Steelers. I have to go over 8.5, right? Like, they always find a way to get to 500 or better. Now, if they're 8-1, my apologies. But I feel like the over on 8.5 just feels right. Mike Tomlin's going to find a way to win enough games to get the job done. And, you know, Kenny Pickett can have a sophomore burst. Same thing with George Pickens, speaking of former Georgia players. And they also have brought in one of my favorite players in the draft, Darnell Washington, who's listed as the third string tight end, despite the fact that he is about 6'8". So great red zone weapon when you get down there. I'll stop my rambling here, Derek. What do you think? Are you also going over, or are you going under the 8.5 for the Steelers?
Oh, I'm going over eight and a half. If you're telling me that they don't get to 9-8, like I think that they will probably they are running plays right now in training camp to figure out how to get in field goal range or a touchdown or whatever they need. They are not taking ties this year. They're just not going to do it. They're going to win or lose games. And I think they're going to win over the 8.5. That is just a, you know, put it in the bank kind of a bet from me. So let's talk about some division awards for the Steelers. For me, Najee Harris, Offensive Player of the Year. I think that there is some I think he's been a little underrated because of the Pickens situation where, you know, they have good chemistry and all that kind of stuff. But I really do think that if there's a guy out there, I think it's going to be like a Nick Chubb, Najee Harris kind of back and forth for the rushing title for this division. And then, you know, we talked about him before, but Joey Porter Jr., Defensive Rookie of the Year. Let's do it.
I'm going to go with the potential obvious one. Let me give TJ Watt for Defensive Player of the Year.
Oh, is he still around?
Oh, yeah, that guy. He's good, I've heard. So I'm going to go with him being able to do something. Also, just throwing it out there, I think there's always a chance Mika Fitzpatrick could get into that discussion if anyone in the secondary is going to.
Did you know that the Steelers added another Watts on in their arrivals? This was Armon Watts, the defensive tackle from Chicago, and has nothing to do with a Watt brother or anything like that. But, you know, they just like those four letters together. And if you want to add an S, you can. So, I you know, TJ Watt always up there for Defensive Player of the Year, in my mind as well.
I mean, Watt is electric power. The Steelers have always been about generating power, you know, the Steel City. So I think that they gravitate towards those names of power and science.
There you go. I mean, very scientific town, very scientific team. So while you're being scientific over there, why don't you science your way into the key matchup? Who do you got?
My key matchup is week 3, as the Steelers will go on the road for the first time to face the Las Vegas Raiders on Sunday Night Football. And the reason this is a key matchup to me is I think that they will probably go out and get a win at home on Monday Night Football against the Browns. It'll be a big game, primetime game. They've got back-to-back primetime. You've got to travel. You've got a short week. You're playing a Raiders team that is messy. We can say that about most teams coached by Josh McDaniels, I think. So, you know, can you go out there and show that you're the better team that wears black? I think that it's going to be an important matchup and just a one early on in the season to show how good do the Steelers think they are? Because if they come in after home games against San Francisco and Cleveland, and let's say they're 0-2, it's a desperate game for them. If they come in 1-1, get on the right track before that early season bye. You got to go out there and find a way to win in Vegas. And I'm not talking about at the casinos. I'm talking about at Allegiant Stadium on the Strip.
Very, very good. So for me, I'm always looking for the division crown. So give me week 16 at home against the Bengals. So they have Arizona and then New England and then Indy. Which, you know, those three games you should win. And then you roll into week 16 versus the Bengals. And, you know, if we're talking about the Steelers being the Steelers and the Steelers, You know, they're going back to their winning ways. You know, the Steelers are rolling. Then that week 16 is probably for the best team in the North.
I like it, Derek. And I also think underrated part of their schedule, this is their last home game. Like, I know that there's 18 weeks in the season now, but the fact that after a Thursday night game in week 14, you have three of the four on the road. Granted, Indy and Baltimore are not that far from Pittsburgh, but like, it's not like if you lose against Cincinnati that week and you have to travel to Seattle and Baltimore to close out the season, you are going to regret that you did not take care of business at home, because it's not a nice stretch down the end for Pittsburgh. So I really like where you're coming from. Go out there, take care of business, beat the best at home, show them that you can do it. And you got to have that momentum for those final 2 weeks.
Yeah, that is great. So we are wrapping up our AFC North preview. If you like our preview, go ahead and give us a 5-star review on your favorite podcasting platform. Reach out to us on Twitter, X, whatever Elon's calling it this week, at Brody Talk on there. And our link tree, linktr.ee/Brody Talk. And, you know, if anything changes, if we get on any other kind of social media, the link is going to be in our link tree, because I don't know what to call anything anymore. So, like, is it Meta? Is it Facebook? Is it X? Is it Twitter? I don't know anymore. I don't think I care. I am going to go outside and be the old man yelling at the cloud, shaking my fist as we need cooler weather. Even though we're in the throes of August. So on behalf of my best pal and best podcasting person on the other side of the screen, my name is Derek. Do me a favor and have a wonderful day.
Bye, everyone.